The church still officially believes in purgatory. Catechism 1030, all who die in God's grace and friendship but are still perfectly purified are indeed assured of their eternal salvation, but after death they undergo purification so as to achieve the holiness necessary to enter the joy of heaven. Try saying that fast. But when you dig deeper and look into the practice of the church and in people's experience, there's a lot lacking. We're going to talk about that and how and why that is, and the incredible irony of this problem in today's video. If you'd like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. Now, first of all, I want to say, please comment down below what has been your experience in the encounter of the actual church. What and how does it express its belief in purgatory? What do your priests say? Do you hear homilies about it? When you talk to other people, what do they say? Because this is a purgatory bubble where everything that we run into is all about purgatory. So as far as I'm concerned, it's alive and well, but that's not the case when you look at different parts of the world. Now, when you look at, for instance, the Order of Christian Funerals, the book that priests do when they do a funeral, when they do a burial in the Novus Ordo, how many times, can you guess, does it mention the word purgatory? Zero! Multiply that times two or three and you still get zero, nothing at all. And there's this old Latin saying that says, lex orandi, lex credendi. How we pray is how we believe. So this shows us and gives us a little bit of insight into why sometimes priests never talk about purgatory. They don't even mention the word, although they hint to its concept by implying, well, that we pray for people when they die and we don't pray for someone who's in heaven. So at least the concept is there. And then we look at studies on the faith. For instance, there was a 2019 study that showed that a third of Catholics believe in the Eucharist. And if it's a case about the Eucharist, can you imagine purgatory? It's probably even less than that. However, a 2022 study showed that 70% of Catholics believe in the Eucharist. Only 17% go to Mass weekly. However, when you go deeper into that study and you click on the link, you could look this up. This is done by CARA, C-A-R-A. 48% don't know what the church teaches about the real presence. Can you imagine what they believe about purgatory? Nothing at all. Now, I want you to listen to what a well-known liberal priest, Father James Martin, says about purgatory. It's actually a little bit surprising. Listen to what he has to say.
So there's purgatory. So what? Well, this is where you come in. Purgatory is really a process of being purged, thus the word, from anything that keeps us from full union with God. So in the afterlife, people are going through this very difficult process of being purged. And anybody knows that that's difficult, anyone who's tried to let go of something that keeps them from God. And that's where they can use our prayers. The people in purgatory need people to pray for them.
Now, he says it, the number one reason why the church struggles to believe in purgatory, it's really probably always been the case, or it's at best embarrassed about its teaching on purgatory, is suffering. He says it. It's the suffering in purgatory that people are embarrassed to talk about. We can accept the idea of heaven. We can talk about hell and all these things. Well, we have to have that, but sort of purgatory is the redheaded stepchild of the afterlife because of this idea of suffering. So we need to, no pun intended, we need to purge or put through purgatory the way that we understand suffering. Because if there's one thing that purgatory teaches us, is that to get to heaven, to get to God, you have to suffer. So how can we understand this? Saint Faustina reveals, I believe it's paragraph 1802 in the diary, if the angels were capable of envy, they would envy us for two things. One is receiving Holy Communion. They can't do that. They never have. And number two is suffering. We for sure know that they cannot do that since they do not have bodies. So can you imagine that one of the two major things that angels can envy us for is suffering, that we can suffer for God, and in doing so, we can prove our love for God in a way that they simply are not able to. Because anyone can understand that one of the greatest ways that we prove our love for someone else isn't by the pleasure that we have for them, but rather by what we're willing to suffer for them. Now, Our Lady, in the book Mystical City of God, it's chapter 22 and volume 2, I'll put down here below exactly where it is, she reveals to us 12 mystical reasons why suffering is incredibly important. You need to hear this. This is really incredible. The first one, full of this deceitful ignorance, they do not only abhor resemblance to Christ's suffering and my own, and deprive themselves of the true and highest blessings of this life, but they make their recovery impossible, since all of them are weak and afflicted by many sins, for which the only remedy is suffering. So she's saying that suffering is a remedy for sin, number one. Number two, sin is committed by base indulgence and is repugnant to suffering sorrow. So when we're in suffering, sin is repugnant to that. Number three, while tribulation earns the pardon of the just judge, when we go through tribulations, we earn God's pardon. Number four, by the bitterness of sorrow and affliction, the vapors of sin are allayed. Number five, the excesses of concupiscence and irascible passions are crushed by suffering. So do you have concupiscence? Do you have lust? Do you have all these things? Suffering crushes them. Did you know that? It is suffering crushes these things that people struggle with. Number six, pride and haughtiness are humiliated. Do you have pride? Do you struggle with pride? Then suffer. It will humiliate it. Number seven, the flesh is subdued. Does your body not do what you want it to do? Subdue it through suffering. Number eight, the inclination to evil to the sensible and earthly creatures is repressed. Do you want to repress your inclination to evil? Then embrace suffering. Number nine, the judgment is cleared. Number 10, the will is brought within bounds. Number 11, its desultory movements at the call of the passions are corrected. So passions are corrected through suffering. And number 12, above all, divine love and pity are drawn down upon the afflicted who embrace suffering with patience, or who seek it to imitate my most holy son. In this science of suffering are renewed all the blessed riches of the creatures, and those that fly from them are insane. Those that know nothing of this science are foolish. If you fly from suffering, if you don't know the science of suffering, Our Lady just called you insane and foolish. Stop. Learn the science of suffering, those 12 things, memorize them. So it will impel you to suffer manfully, like a real man and a real woman. That's how we must suffer. Suffering, along with these things, these are the benefits of suffering. But more than this, here's the irony. Suffering reveals the inner mystery of God, which is revealed on the cross. The inner mystery of God revealed on the cross is that God is, and this may sound crazy to you, but Jesus says it in different words, God is life-giving death. That's it. When we die for others, life is given. So God is life-giving death. John 15, 13, no one has greater love than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Do you see that? How do you lay down your life for your friends? By suffering for other people. That's the greater love. What's God? Greater love. That's exactly what God is. Now, that's why God is so difficult to approach. That's why the fallen angels, that's why Satan rejected God, because he didn't want to die, because on the surface, it seems like you're going to die and it's going to end in death. But you find that this type of death gives life. Think of the things that God calls you to. Have another baby. I don't want to, but it will give life. Suffer for your friends. Fast. Do this. Even put manure and compost in your plants. Put death in the soil, and it will give more life to your plants. Even all nature around us shows us that death gives life when it's done for others. And Satan is the flip side of this. Satan is death-giving life. Think of the temptation that he offers to Jesus. If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread. But bread gives life. So why would it be a sin to take that life? And that's how the devil tempts us. Eat more candy, more chocolate, more bread. more food, more money, more sex, more pleasure. He gives us these things that on the surface give us life. But then beneath it, because it's for us, because it's self-directed, it actually kills us. Even the science tells us that overeating kills us and that fasting renews our life and makes us live longer. In fact, one of the areas of the world that has the lowest amount of cancer is the Middle East. Right now they are in Ramadan, where they fast, they don't eat. They're not supposed to eat from sunrise to sunset. They don't eat that whole section, nothing. They're not supposed to eat anything. And that month-long fasting that the whole culture does, they have the lowest cases of cancer there in the Middle East because they actually do this life-giving death thing. God works. Even science proves so. So the church is confusing because it officially teaches that purgatory still is there, but in practice, it doesn't really do so. You can see so, for instance, in the order of Christian funerals and in the way that people talk and in the fact that you never hear homilies about purgatory. But if you really want to know what the church teaches about suffering and therefore about purgatory, look at who they canonize. That's how you really know what the church teaches. These saints were canonized in late 2025. Saint Stanislaus Strike, Polish martyr. Saint Maria Christofa, Polish martyr. Saint Floribert Chui, martyr. Saint Lacarion May, martyr. Saint Maria Bodhi, martyr. Saint Eduardo Profitlik, can't even say their name, martyr. Do you get it? They all died. They all had the whole life-giving death thing. Canonized martyrs. So it's weird because the church will say, no, don't do whatever, be lenient, peace and love and all this stuff. But who does it canonize? The martyrs, those that suffer. Because suffering, when you embrace it, makes you a saint. It makes you like God. It gives life to you and to others, even if it takes some of your life away. And this is the mystery that purgatory teaches us. So not only do we help the souls in purgatory by praying for them, but when we look at them, they reveal to us the inner mystery of God, the inner mystery of life, and the path to life. Embracing suffering, embracing death for Jesus Christ, death to self, so that we can live in Him and become the saints that we're called to be. My friends, if this video has helped you in any way, please subscribe and like and support this channel through Buy Me a Coffee. I'll see you in the next one.